Sleepy Time Storyteller. Are all you young people listening? I've just come up from the Never Never Land with Hoppy and the other brownies and the Sandman to tell you a story. And then I guess if the Sandman can let us have time to help Hoppy, to help you to say a rhyme. Well, I guess I'm not going to forget to say thank you for the letters today, Hoppy, am I? All for a very good reason. Well, I should tell them? Well, I don't know whether anybody would be interested particularly. Well, I will tell you. Hoppy and I arrived here more than half an hour ago, and I've been reading letters ever since. And I guess that's... What? Tell the why? Well, the why is that you took all last week's letters home with you before I saw them. So today I read the letters that came this week, and then you presented me with all last week's mail, and that's why. Now, I know you didn't know that I hadn't read them. You had them somewhere all the way up from the Never Never Land today, though, and if I'd known... Oh, the Sandman had them. I wondered how you could hide away anything as big as that bundle of letters in your little weenie pockets. Why couldn't I? Well, it might have been too cold to read them on the way up at that, Hoppy. Perhaps you're right. But isn't the fresh snow beautiful today? And all day long the smoke from the chimneys has been going up in a straight line into the sky. Yes, it is. Just like a Christmas card picture. Now I have a story to tell, Hoppy. What? Oh, surely not. Oh, I couldn't have done that this time. All right, I will right away. Hoppy says that after all the talk about our letters, I forgot something after all. Well, there were many more letters when we arrived today, and because they made Hoppy and me so happy and so grateful, our lips say thank you for our hearts. Now let's decide what you're going to do. Look, wait a minute. Where's that water coming from all over the table? Huh? I don't know either, but it wasn't there a moment ago. Something's leaking, Hoppy. Where? Oh, that's what it is. I should say, your trouser cuff's just full of snow. You can't imagine? Well, I can. You've been wading in the deep snow again, and you know what your grandpappy said about that. Oh. An accident. Well, all right. But you better not let those accidents happen too often, Hoppy. Now, where are you spending your story time today? Good enough. My shoulder's at your service, providing you don't trickle any of that snow down my neck. Well, the best place for it now is right where it is in your trouser cuff, I guess. No, you can't do that. That'd make water all over the carpet. Well, there's not much... Well, there's not very much. Maybe it'd be all right. All right, up you go now. Come on. Climb my brawny left arm. Hurry up, scamper. There you are now. See that you hold tight to my ear and don't squirm too much for the next few minutes, will you? All right. If you're ready, then, the story is from the Must Be Told book because so many of you have asked for it. Snow White and Rose Red. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, in a little cottage that stood in a meadow near a great woods, there lived a poor widow and her two daughters, Snow White and Rose Red. Snow White was quiet and gentle and spent a lot of her time helping her mother to sew and wash, or in reading aloud to her by the fire. And Rose Red was happy and always laughing, running through the meadow to gather the gay flowers that grew there, or carrying great buckets of clear, cold water from the well nearby the house. And the two sisters loved each other dearly, and their mother loved them both. And all the beasts and the birds of the meadow and the forest knew Snow White and Rose Red, so that no matter how far they wandered, no harm ever came to them. Now it happened on a winter evening when all the world was white and the cottage was closed and locked, all snug and warm against the wind and the cold. The Snow White and Rose Red sat spinning with their mother while their white dove perched on her roost behind them with her head tucked under her wing, and the pet lamb lay dozing by the open fire. And then there came a knock at the door, and the mother said, "Hurry, Rose Red, and open the door. Perhaps some traveler seeks shelter from the storm." And so Rose Red drew the bolt and threw open the door, and there stood a great bear. He thrust his nose inside, and the little lamb bleated, and the dove fluttered and beat her wings. But the bear said, "Please don't be afraid of me. I will do you no harm. I am cold and hope that you might let me come in to warm myself. Then the mother said, Oh, poor bear. Come you in and lie down by the fire. But be careful not to burn your coat. And then the bear entered and called out, Come here, children, and knock the snow off my coat. So Snow White and Rose Red brought a broom and swept him clean. And then he stretched out before the fire, and after a little while the two children lost their shyness and played with him on the floor, tugging at his ears and legs and his long, shaggy hair. And the great bear tumbled and rolled with them and laughed happily deep down in his throat. And when bedtime came, they all said good night and left the bear to sleep warm and comfortable beside the fire. When morning came, the bear said that he must go, and away he trotted across the snow. But every evening he returned to the warm cottage and the cheerful fire, and soon Snow White and Rose Red felt that he was their dearest friend. But when spring came, the bear said, Now I must leave you and be away all summer, for I go into the forest to guard my treasures from the evil dwarfs who sleep deep in the earth all winter, but come forth to steal when summer is here. Snow White was so sorry to have her friend go, so sorry that she hardly opened the door enough for him to pass through, and a piece of his hairy coat caught on the latch. And through the hole in his fur, Snow White thought she saw the glitter of gold. But before she could be sure, the bear was gone across the meadow and into the shadow of the great forest. Well, one day soon after, the two girls went into the woods to gather sticks, when they came to a tree that had fallen across the path, and beside it, held fast by his snow-white beard, which was caught in a split of the tree, was a wrinkled little old man who hopped about like a dog tied to a chain and didn't know how to free himself. He glared at the two girls with fierce red eyes and cried out, why do you stand there, simpletons? Are you not going to help me? Rose Red said, Whatever have you done to yourself, little man? And the dwarf exclaimed, you foolish goose. I was splitting the tree for firewood when the wedge slipped and the tree closed in on my beautiful beard. But don't stand there laughing, dolts. Free me, free me. The children tried to tug the dwarf's beard free, but it was no use. And then Snow White took her tiny sewing scissors from her pocket, cut off the end of the beard, and the dwarf was free. But instead of thanking his rescuers, the dwarf snatched up a sack of gold that lay by his feet and hurried away, calling back, stupid children, to cut off a piece of my beautiful beard. Bad luck to you. Well, it wasn't very long after this that Snow White and Rose Red were walking near the pond in the meadow one day, when all at once they noticed something like a big grasshopper hopping around on the bank as if it were going to jump right into the water. But when they ran near it, they saw that it was the same bad-tempered dwarf. Rose Red said to him, Whatever are you doing? If you jump into the water, you'll get all wet. And the dwarf cried out, I'm not such a simpleton as that. The fish is trying to pull me into the pond. And then the two girls saw that the dwarf's beard had got tangled up in his fishing line, and a great fish was tugging away at the hook. The dwarf scrambled and pulled and danced and hopped, but nearer and nearer the water he slid. And then Snow White pulled on the beard to try and untangle it, and when she couldn't, Rose Red took out her little scissors and cut off another piece of the dwarf's whiskers. But the dwarf didn't say thank you. Oh, no. He shrieked, you donkeys, do you want to spoil my good looks? First you cut the end off my beard, now you cut some more. I wish you'd never come here. And picking up a bag of pearls that lay hidden in the grass nearby, he disappeared behind a large stone and was gone. Well, a few days later, the two girls started out for the nearest town to buy needles and laces and ribbons for their mother. Walking through a large field where great pieces of stone lay scattered about, they saw a great bird flying round and round and lower until it disappeared behind one of the rocks. And then they heard a shriek and ran to see what was the matter and found that the great eagle had seized the bad-tempered dwarf and was about to carry him off. So Snow White and Rose Red took firm hold of the dwarf's clothes and pulled with all their might, and finally pulled him free from the eagle's claws. But did the dwarf say thank you? He did not. He danced in rage and cried out, why can't you be more careful? You've torn my fine brown coat until it's full of holes, blunderers. And then he picked up a bag of precious stones hidden behind the rock and disappeared into a cave in the earth. And so the girls went on their way and finished their shopping and came back through the same field. And they almost stepped on the wrinkled dwarf, where he lay cross-legged on the ground, counting his precious stones, which glimmered and glittered in the sun. When he saw Snow White and Rose Red, the dwarf cried out, "Ah, what are you standing there for?" And his face grew red with anger. But just as he started to shriek and yell some more, there was a deep growl, and a great black bear came hurrying out of the forest. The dwarf rushed for his cave, but the bear caught him, and the frightened dwarf whimpered, "Ah, spare me, great bear, spare my life. I'll give you all my treasures. I'll give you these two tender little girls to eat, but spare my life." But the bear paid no attention. He gave the bad dwarf one cuff with his great paw and dropped him to the ground. Well, by this time, Snow White and Rose Red, frightened by the terrible noise and confusion, had started on home, but the bear called out, "Snow White, Rose Red, wait and I'll come with you." And then they recognized the voice of their old friend and stopped. As the bear caught up with them, his great shaggy coat of fur suddenly dropped off, and there stood a tall, handsome young man, all dressed in gold. He said, "I am a king's son, and was bewitched by the evil dwarf to wander about in the forest in the form of a bear, until his death should free me and return to me the treasures he stole from my palace." And then they all hurried home to the cottage to tell their mother all about their great adventure. And soon afterwards, Snow White married the handsome prince, and Rose Red married his laughing young brother, and they all lived happily ever after. Well, that's the story of Snow White and Rose Red. A story that... Where? Oh, of course there are bears in Canada. Haven't you ever seen a bear? Just pictures. Why, I dare say there's a bear not 10 miles away from here, Hoppy. Maybe several bears if we just knew where to look for them. No, really, there are plenty of bears in all the country around. Oh, I don't know, different kinds. You mean in all of Canada? Yeah, oh, there are different kinds. Black bears and brown bears, and polar bears and grizzly bears and... Well, maybe not all of those in Canada, I don't know. Except in the zoos, perhaps. Now, are you coming down from up there or should... Jump, are you? All right, well... Stand up, then. Oh, but hold on. All right, now. I'll count and you jump. 1, 2, 3, jump! That's a good jump. You landed on your feet. That's what counts. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know whether it's a record or not. Do you see the old mark there anywhere? Where? Oh, lift your foot a little bit and I'll see. That's it, I guess. Well, then you jumped exactly the same distance as before. Mm-hmm. No, I can't. That wouldn't be fair. You didn't set a record. Oh, I don't know, Hoppy. I'd say that was a good jump. After all, you haven't practiced for a long time, you know. How long since you jumped off my shoulder? No, you didn't. You slid down that time. Do you remember? I put a... Uh-oh. There's that Sandman, and we'll have to go. But we'll be back soon. When you go to bed tonight, remember that your daddy and mother love you. And that Hoppy and the storyteller love you, too. Now, have you a good night to say, Hoppy? I wonder if your voice will ever grow up. Good night now.
The CBC presents a Sleepy Time Storyteller each Friday afternoon at this time. The program comes to you from the studios of CKNB at Campbellton, New Brunswick. Tomorrow morning over many of these stations... You'll enjoy listening to other programs for children. This is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.